The following message was recorded at New Beginnings Church in Slidell, Louisiana. Please feel free to duplicate and share this message as you feel led. And you are invited to visit us at New Beginnings Church at 330 Robert Boulevard, Slidell, Louisiana, 70458. Our Sunday services start at 10 a.m. and our Wednesday evening services at 7 p.m. If you have any questions, call us at 985-781-4663. And may God richly bless you as you listen to this message. I'd like to introduce our guest speaker today. We know him well, we love him dearly, and we look forward to the message you have to share with us today, Bob. God bless you.
Thank you. God bless you. It's just a joy to be with you today. I can say particularly because I just love it when the Lord goes before you. The words that you've spoken this morning, the praise and worship, I don't have much to add to it. You know what I'm saying? Because I think the Lord has a word for us all today, and it's a good word, an important word. Today we're going to talk about the power of forgiveness. Forgiveness. Forgiveness is a basic part of who we are as Christians. Without forgiveness, we don't have much. If God didn't forgive us our sins, we would have no way of being able to enter into His presence as we have this morning. No way. Forgiveness is a big deal. You know, sometimes I think because we talk about it a lot, I see it written on the wall back here, come home, all is forgiven. And we say, well, Jesus forgave my sins. That's great. And we go on to something else. But I want to let you know, forgiveness is a big deal. Amen. Forgiveness is a big deal in the entire world, and the kingdom of God, and in this world that we live in. People respond when they see forgiveness. Forgiveness breaks the chains. Forgiveness makes us absolutely free to be all that God created us to be. Without forgiveness, we don't have much. It says in Matthew chapter 6, if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you. Forgiveness, friends, is a big, big deal. Follow along this morning. I want to go through a series of different stories, but they all end up telling us that forgiveness is where it needs to be. It tells us that it's the individual actions of people that make the difference in the kingdom of God. We can do things corporately, and we do. We have a corporate face before the city. Pastor Morris and myself and others make it our effort to be out before the city as men of God, influencing the best that we can. But the truth is, it's not always the big things that make a difference. It's the little things. It's one individual here and there. I'm reminded of several stories, the first of which is Abraham. Abraham was bargaining with God for Sodom and Gomorrah. You remember the story? In Genesis chapter 18, it says, Abraham stood still before the Lord. And Abraham came near and said, would you also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Suppose now there were 50 righteous guys in Sodom. Would you destroy the whole place? That's Bob's paraphrase. Hang with me. He goes on to bargain with God till he gets down to 10, if you remember. And for the sake of 10 people, God would have spared that place. I want to let you know that God honors the prayers of individuals. When we went to Albania the first time, we were looking to do great things. And I had this $3,000 a month budget, which included all of my living money, working money, travel money, and everything else for $3,000 a month. And I was so proud. It took me a while to raise it. It took God a while to put it in our pockets. But we got the money, and we went. As I'm leaving, I see an article in the newspaper, and it says that Muslim countries in the Middle East were sending $10 million to Albania to build a mosque in every village. And it just took all the wind out of my sails. You know what I'm saying? And I said, Lord, what is my $3,000 each month for groceries and ministry and everything else going to do compared to this $10 million? And friends, just as clearly as you can hear me this morning, I believe that God spoke to my heart. And what he said was, Bob, he said, I do it one person at a time. I do it one heart changed at a time. And he says, you got everything you need. Go for it. Make it happen. I remember one time I was listening to Jesse Duplantis. And you like Jesse Duplantis? Oh, man, Jesse Duplantis is wild. I love to listen to him preach. He was preaching from Luke chapter 8. And if you see me panicking, because my computer just stopped talking to me. Jesse Duplantis was Luke chapter 8, verse 32. And that's, if you remember, the place where there was a storm. And Jesus was sleeping in the back of the boat. You remember? Yeah. There was a storm, and they wake him up, and he said, Jesus, wake up, wake up. We're about to perish. We're going under. And he wakes up, and he says, peace, be still. Not only was it quiet, and Jesse made a lot of good points out of that. He was talking about the blessings of the Lord, and how, you know, you just call upon the Lord's name, and he will bless, and, you know, he's always willing to help you, that he, you know, he's there for you. When you call upon his name, he's there for you. But, and that was good. But one of the interesting things that I heard him say that day that stuck with me for a long time, and still does, is that that not only were the disciples finding peace and calm, but so are all the other boats on the lake. People who didn't even know the name of Jesus, people who didn't even know that there was a problem that could be solved by the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, people who didn't know those things were still finding peace and calm that day. I'm also reminded in 2 Chronicles, that I think Rose, you just said something about that. If my people who are called by my, don't you love it when God goes before you? That just blesses me so good. Lets me know we're all on the same page. He said, if my people who are called by my name, who are his people? We are. We are. He's not saying that what we need to do is to go out and get the whole world saved, so once they're saved, everything's going to be good. He said, if my people. Sometimes we can get really overwhelmed by all the nonsense that's going on in this world. We can look and say, what are we going to do? Wringing our hands, they're going to take all of our rights away. They're going to do this to us. They're going to hurt us. They're going to do that. And we can say, what are we going to do? And then when we get like that, we get looking for something big to happen. God, let's get everybody saved. Let's have revival in the country. Let's get all these things happening. If my people. That's you. That's me. That's us together loving and encouraging and helping each other. It's little bitty people doing little bitty things that'll be great things in this nation. Everybody who came to this nation as immigrants 400 or 500 years ago, everybody was not a Christian. Can you believe that? As much as we talk about it, everybody was not a sold-out, born-again believer. But there was enough. There was enough. There was enough in the right place at the right time, saying the right things, so that this nation became founded on Christian principles. If my people, if you, if me, humble yourself. Humble yourself. Some people say, well, that just means fasting. Good, fast. Some people say, just let your pride down and go ahead and talk to that person. Some people say that humbling yourself is no more than just a smile. Just a smile to somebody that doesn't deserve it. Some of y'all got some real sour pusses, and I'm smiling at you anyhow. I'm humbling myself to smile, hoping you smile back, and you know what? You just did. You got 100. You got an A for today. If my people will humble themselves and pray, Seek God, ask God, Lord, what am I supposed to do in all of this? Let me do what you would have me to do. Help me, Lord, to live according to your word. And he says he will heal our land. Because of the few, the disciples in the boat, Abraham bargaining with God, because of the few, you and me, God will move on behalf of this nation. And I know that this message is being preached in church after church around this country right now, because people are calling to take inventory of themselves. What's happening to me? What's happening to make a difference in this country? What can I do? Let me tell you a story. A couple of weeks ago, at the end of June, Denise and I were in South Carolina for a couple of weeks. If you remember, her mama's family lives over there, and we go over there periodically to take care of things concerning that. While we were there, the news report comes on. There's been a shooting in Charleston tonight at the Emmanuel AME Church. We're not sure what's happening yet, but there's been a shooting. Before it's over with, we find out 9 people were killed. They're called the Emmanuel 9. There was a little guy by the name of Dylan Roof who went to church that night, armed to the teeth, with the Bible in the other hand. And he walked into that group, and maybe it was a group just like us. Just regular people who love the Lord, regular people who just came to, gee, what is God going to say to us tonight? Little did they know he was going to take them home. Dylan Roof sat there for a while, and he said, you know, these people are so nice. They welcomed me. They loved me. They shook my hand and told me I was going to be all right. They smiled at me. They did. They just made me feel so at home. He said, later, he said, I thought maybe I just needed to walk out. But somebody had to do it. Then he pulled his gun out and he shot and killed 9 people just like you and me. Mamas and daddies. People trying to raise their kids. People looking forward to retirement. Just like us. And they went to be with Jesus. We've seen similar things in Baltimore, Ferguson, New York. I think people were a little worried. This is the Deep South, y'all. South Carolina was the first state to secede from the Union. Confederate flag flying at the state capitol. Hot potatoes. Hot potatoes. A couple hours later, they find this little guy running out and somewhere up around Charlotte, North Carolina. They recognize him. They arrest him. They bring him to jail. Family goes before the judge when they're going to arraign him, the first step in the legal procedures to putting this guy in jail. They didn't bring him to the courtroom. They had it via a video hookup. And he came in the room in his chains and in his prison garb. And he stood there, wasn't an impressive person at all. Little skinny guys, uniform didn't fit too well. Who cares? You're in prison. He's covered me. That's good enough. He stood there, and the family had made an unusual request. The family had made the request that we would like to face this man who killed our family members. The presiding judge said, okay, really unusual. Family members often get to speak to the accused at the sentencing. On the back end of the process. Rarely do they get to see him on the front end of the process. You know what I'm saying? So they've got this hookup, and the family members come, and I'm sure the reporters had all the cameras going and their notepads and their recording machines and everything else. What are they going to say? What are they going to call him? As African-American people, I don't know what they're going to say. This is the South. And they opened their mouth and they said, Dylan Roof In the name of Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, I forgive you for what you've done. Could you do that? I mean, think about your own kids. Husband, wife, mom and daddy. Think about your own. Somebody taken away, and 48 hours later, voluntarily, you stand up and said, I forgive you for what you've done. Tough, isn't it? Humble yourself. Humble yourself. They humble themselves. One of the eight who prayed said, Lord, I forgive this man for what he's done. And I ask you, Father, to have mercy upon his soul. That's an extra step. That night they were being obedient, or that day they were being obedient to the Word of God. The Word of God says, forgive those and forgive them again and forgive them again. How can you do that? Everything screams within me, I can't do that. I don't want to do that. I want them to get what they got coming to them. And I want to be there. I want to see them fry. Father, forgive them. They did not go for leniency. They didn't say, Lord, Judge, be lenient on this guy. Sin has its consequences, folks. You do bad stuff happens to you. It's just how life works. If you're stupid, you get paid for being stupid. But if you live by the Word of God, things happen. Something's happening different here. I listen to the news broadcast, and all of a sudden I hear him saying, in the holy city, Charleston, holy city, where'd that come from? I'd never heard it before. But now all the newscasters were calling the city the holy city. Next door, New Orleans, is the Crescent City. New York is the Big Apple. We're the Camellia City. Charleston was the holy city. Now, wait a minute. They're a holy city because they have a heritage. This is not a new name for them. Since 1702, they've been called the holy city because there were so many churches, so many believers, so many people of God who lived there, people just like you and me. But they call it the holy city. And they said, today in the holy city, it's strangely quiet. The media and the press did not focus on the out-of-town folks who came in to stir the pot. Didn't give them any time. No press time, no media time. They simply said, there are troublemakers here. And the mayor stood up and said, if you don't belong here, you're out. Only people who live here have a right to speak. Within 24 hours, the leadership of South Carolina began to look around them. And they began to say, what are those things that cause problems between us? And that Confederate flag that flew on the state capitol. Is that a problem for you? Yes, sir, it is. We're going to take it down. And an overwhelming vote of the legislation of South Carolina, led by Governor Nikki Haley, that flag came down. It came down with dignity. It came down with honor. It came down with absolute respect for those who had given their life 150 years ago. But it came down. All of the AME churches in South Carolina were full for the next couple of services. There's some churches we go to while we're over there, and we're on an email list. And I was getting emails and said, hey, we're going to meet down at the AME church up the road in Myrtle Beach on Wednesday night. Come to the service. All the churches were full Wednesday night and Sunday to overflowing out of people showing respect. And they weren't all African-American people. They were white people who would just say, I stand with you. What 20 minutes on that video hookup changed 150 years of history. What's been going on for 150 years in South Carolina was melted away by the power of forgiveness. I'm telling you. We assume that, well, God forgave my sins. I'm a pretty good guy. I'm sure it wasn't a big deal for him. I didn't murder anybody or do anything. You know, I didn't do anything real bad. Just normal sin, just like you. That's no big deal. Oh, it's a big deal. It changed your life. It wasn't because you come to a nice church with a pastor and Pat, who loves you. It was the love of Jesus. It was him forgiving you for your sins. That, friends, was what made the difference. I want to tell you the power of forgiveness supersedes every other Christian virtue that there is. The power of forgiveness will make you whole. The fire of forgiveness is going to break your chains. The power of forgiveness is going to take you to a new place in this life. And I want to tell you here today, it's the power of forgiveness that's going to change things in this country. What am I supposed to do, Bob? Well, fast and pray and act right. Been doing that all along. Ain't no big deal there. Forgiveness, friends. Go about your daily life with love and hope and helping people to break the chains. But let me tell you who's first on your list that you need to forgive. Me. No. Yourself. Yourself. We find it so hard to forgive ourselves. Every one of you has got a checklist of rotten stuff you've done that you're ashamed of and you wouldn't tell anybody but God. And you may have done some of it this week. I don't know. But I do know this. We have to forgive ourselves. How do I get to be a holy person? Forgive yourself. Love yourself. I've got scripture and all kind of scripture to tell you about this. Guess I better get back here and read some of it, huh? I don't want you to think I'm making this stuff up. Denise could use to make stuff up. She said, you got to have plenty of scripture so people don't think you're just making stuff up. Psalm 103 says, as far as the east is from the west, that's how far he's removed your sins from you. How far is the east from the west? It's infinitely far. And your sins are that far away from you. If God can do that with you, as stinky as you are, you need to do it for yourself. You need to see yourself like God sees you. Brother Max back there, y'all know Max and Beth? Max will be here next week proclaiming the word of the Lord. My good brother in the Lord and precious friends. One of the things he likes to say when God looks at you, hope you don't preach this next week because I'm taking it now. He said, when God sees you, he don't see you. He sees the God man in you. Is that how you say it? Close enough? Close enough. God sees that. If God sees that, what's wrong with you? Why can't you see what God sees? How in the world are you going to do anything for God if you're walking around limping and beat up? Oh, I'm just one of the happy Christians. I'm just so blessed to be part of God's kingdom. Now, that'll sell. You can't forgive yourself without Jesus. You have to ask him to help. You got to believe this gospel. We mouth it real good, but you got to believe it. Amen. You got to know that Jesus died for a reason and you're it. So the first person we need to forgive, if we're going to make a difference in this country, if we're going to see God do all that he wants to do, it begins with us. It begins with knowing who you are and you're forgiven. This is from the Message in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 14. It says, the blood of Christ cleans up our whole lives inside and out. When we got saved, God changed all my friends. He changed my clients. He changed everything. Through the Spirit, Christ offered himself as an unblemished sacrifice, freeing us from those dead-end efforts to make ourselves respectable so that we can live all out for God. Amen? God wants to do good things. God cleanses us. He makes us whole. That old stuff behind us needs to be dead, buried, and forgotten. It's a great testimony, and you can give it as a testimony saying, this is what God did in my life. And that's great because it'll encourage somebody. But you don't need to keep living your old testimony. You're a new creation. God made you new, and He made you to be a new person. And He gave you all the tools that you need for that. Chapter 3, verse 21 says, If our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence towards God. We have confidence that God can use us and will use us. And when you say, should I open my mouth or not? Should I talk? Should I say something now? If you're right with God, open your mouth. What's before that? Accept your forgiveness. You didn't do a thing to make yourself an upright believer. He did the work. Give Him the credit. Let it be good. And 1 John chapter 1, verse 7 says, if we're walking in the light and walking in forgiveness, then the blood of Jesus is continually cleansing us from all sin. We need to forgive ourselves first. We need to be washed in the blood of the Lamb, clean, and know that God called you, He's using you, and He's ready for you to be a part of the kingdom. Just like the disciples waking up Jesus in the boat, they got healed and a whole bunch of other people got blessed. Just like Sodom and Gomorrah, it was a few that would have blessed the whole city. We need to be called back to what God gave us to do. The second person that we need to forgive is God. Huh? How many times have I heard it? I don't know why God took my mother when I was such a young kid. I don't know why God took my child. I don't know why God didn't give me a better brain. That one I'm still working on. I don't know why God. And then we go blaming God for everything. God, I need more money. He didn't send it to me. Now I'm mad at Him. Let me tell you what. God is God. He is sovereign. He can do whatever He wants to do. His job is to give you the healings and the help in this life, not to protect you from everything that can go wrong. Because if I promised you, anybody ever tell you this? Listen, once you become a Christian, your life's going to be perfect. Ain't nothing going to go wrong. Christian people don't get sick. Christian people don't run out of money. Christian people, how do you say, bro, have more month than money? Christian people don't have more month than money. It always works out exactly the same. I raised perfect kids. They never talked back to me. No, indeed. They always took their nap when they were supposed to. They always slept late in the morning and never got up and got me out of bed. Hey, none of that life, y'all. Forgive God. He loves you. He cares for you. You are the apple of His eye. And you are just the way He made you. I thought I should be taller and have more hair. Didn't work out. I am the way He made me. And you are the way He made you. And He wants you to be that way. There are places that we individually can go that all of us can't go. There are places I can go in the community you can't go. They walk in and say, who are you? I don't know you. There's places you can go. I can't go. Who are you? We all have different places to go, and people respond to us in different ways. People, God puts us in places where we can minister to those around us. But if we're fighting with Him, that I'm not short enough, tall enough, fat enough, ugly enough, pretty enough, whatever. If we're fighting with Him about what's going on, we ain't gonna get nothing done. So the first thing is forgive yourself. You're okay. You really, really are. And He made you the way He made you. Quit arguing with Him about what He didn't do. Third person Now I'm going to start meddling. That wasn't meddling. That was kind of good preaching at the first two. Family members. Oh, man. Man, I'm the only one in my family who's right. The rest of them people are nuts. They're ornery. They're hard to get along with. They don't tell you the truth. And when they do, they lie about that. I'm telling you, our family, God, why'd you put me in such a snarly family? And then we say stuff to family members that we never say to anybody else. You know what I'm saying?
Amen.
I'm meddling. Husbands and wives will tell each other things that you wouldn't say to a normal human being. Huh? Why'd you put that tie on? Well, I'm smart enough. I went and asked Denise this morning. I said, dear, does that tie go with that coat? She said, yeah. We say things to each other that are hurtful and harmful. Why we do it? The closer a person is to you, the more you love them, looks like the more ornery stuff you got to say to them. What do you do that for? Probably for the same reason I do. Huh?
Keep them on their toes.
Keep them on their toes. It better than keeping on a chair beating me on the head. I want to tell you what. Just forgive each other. Forgive your family members. And talk to them right. Talk to them nice. They're God's creation. God put them in your life. Maybe. You know the thing about patience? If you want, don't pray for patience because God will send you trouble. Okay? And then you get married. No. I just said that. Listen, family members are one of the hardest ones to deal with. That's true. Amen. The hardest people for me to witness to are people that I'm blood kin to. Because they know my history and I know theirs. And they say things like, what are you telling me that for? I've been knowing you since you were beyond that big. I know who you are. I know where you've been. Are you going to tell me about Jesus? Uh-huh. Yeah, we are. Because if we've forgiven ourselves and we've forgiven God, we can forgive each other. We need, God put us in a family. It's the destruction of the family unit in America that's brought us into a whole heap of trouble today. Much as you like them or don't like them, you need them. You need to take care of them. They're your blood. God put them there. Forgiveness is the first step. Forgive yourself. Forgive God. And forgive your neighbor. Forgive your blood relative. And stop saying stupid things to them, okay? Don't do that anymore. Because, you know, the worst thing in the world is that you say something to somebody that you really don't like, and then you got to go back and ask them to forgive you. You know? It's a whole lot easier is not to keep your mouth shut in the first place. Okay? They didn't need to hear it anyway, especially from you. So forgive yourself, forgive God. There needs to be forgiveness and love in your family. And then the one that's going to make the biggest difference of all, forgive the people outside of those groups. Forgive people at work, people at school, people that you run into who you're driving down, you're driving through the parking lot real slow, and somebody pulls out, and then you got to back up. Just go ahead and forgive them, okay? They think they pretended like they didn't see you. They saw you. Get over it. Forgive them. Okay? The people in the grocery store, if you're walking around all the time angry at people, anybody want to confess to that? I didn't think so. If you're walking, oh, you got your hand up. No, she was scratching her head. If you're walking around all the time angry with people, okay, what are you doing for the kingdom of God? What are you doing to advance the kingdom of God? What is the most precious thing that we have in this world? It's the kingdom of God. And if you're walking around with a sourpuss, fussing at people who pull out in front of you, people who take the basket that you were going to take, people who park a basket behind your car. That's another good one. Okay? People who do all this stuff, you're not going to win them to the kingdom of God. My friend used to say, listen, Bob, he says, you're not going to win all of your friends to Jesus. He said, but you ain't going to be none of your enemies. So we need to love people. We need to forgive people. If you do not forgive, the lack of forgiveness will make it impossible for God to forgive you. Get with it. It's just good advice. Receiving our forgiveness is the key to our salvation. It is. You got to receive it. This is a free gift, but you got to receive the forgiveness for your sins. That's the key to your salvation. Giving freedom, giving forgiveness, that's a key to freedom in this life. With forgiveness on your heart, you can look anybody in the eye anytime. With forgiveness in your heart, you can smile at the snarliest person out there and shake their hands. Yeah, like this one. Is that good? Yeah. Listen, with forgiveness in your heart, you and I can make a difference in this kingdom. That'll affect the entire United States of America. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their evil ways, I'll heal their land. You ready for that? You ready for that? Don't get overwhelmed by all that's going on around you. 8 people in Charleston, South Carolina made a difference in the lives of millions of people in the South, but also from coast to coast. Now, I know the debate still goes on, and there's still people fussing about it, but that's all right. Because in God's kingdom, God's people did what they were supposed to do, and it changed history. 20 minutes erased 150 years of history. We can do the same thing. It doesn't have to be just in the holy city. It can be us right here. And it can start with us. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word that is so clear, so crystal clear. Crystal clear of your love for us. Crystal clear of your forgiveness in our lives. Crystal clear, Lord, of what we're supposed to do. Help us, Lord, not to be overwhelmed by the enormity of that which is going on. But, Lord, help us to know that we got a part to play. And we can make a difference for the kingdom of God, beginning right here in Slidell, Louisiana. We're a little town, hardly on the map. But in the kingdom of God, I believe that this town shines bright, not because of the buildings and all of the massive things going on, but because of the hearts of people who love you, trust you, and give themselves to you. Father, I pray that you would take the truth of what we've spoken today and weld it to each one of our hearts. And if there are those who are listening who are not present in this building today, but through the internet, perhaps around the world, I don't know. May this message touch their hearts as well. Lord, may you be blessed, and may your people, Lord, rise up to make a difference in these troubled times. We love you, Lord, and we trust you. We thank you. I thank you, Lord, for each family who's represented here today. I pray for health, peace, prosperity, and encouragement for each family. Bless them, we pray, in the precious name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. God bless you.